on Annenberg Radio News.
We were inspired in our struggle by many of those from this country.
We'll hear what Archbishop Desmond Tutu has to say about Black History Month. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, February 17th, 2011. I'm Megan Dickey. Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa's NFL Blue Ribbon Commission held its first meeting today. The 10-member panel heard a presentation from AEG head Tim Lewicki, whose company proposes building an NFL stadium next to LA Live and the Staples Center. Lewicki has repeatedly said the plan to build a $1 billion event center and expand the convention center will not require public money. The plan calls for renovating the convention center and issuing $350 million in bonds to pay for it. Downtown resident Lisa Pease told ATVN she's skeptical of the proposal.
I understand we wouldn't be funding the building of the stadium, but I do understand we'd be funding the tearing down of the old convention center. And I don't, you know, to me, I would only want to do that if we would get some royalties back then from the continuing operations of the stadium once it goes up.
After the meeting, some commission members said they want to take a hard look at the proposed bond. Lewicki estimates the project will create 20 to 30,000 jobs. Governor Jerry Brown has called for an end to community redevelopment agencies as part of his effort to close the $25 billion budget shortfall. Emily Frost reports on Mayor Villaraigosa's impassioned opposition to the governor's plan.
Mayor Villaraigosa brought together a broad coalition of nonprofits, private companies, and representatives from across LA in support of the city's CRA. The Community Redevelopment Agency is a public agency that puts taxpayer dollars towards redevelopment projects. The mayor says the agency has created thousands of jobs, thousands of affordable housing units, and a tremendous amount of tax revenue. He called the agencies
the engine of the Golden State. What we've said is, to the state, don't balance your budget on the backs of Los Angeles or cities across the nation.
Villaraigosa and other mayors are questioning the $1.7 billion Governor Brown says the state would save by closing the agencies. Councilmember Richard Alarcon shared many examples of how the CRA has helped the city.
If you watch the transformation of Hollywood from the troubled neighborhood of 25 years ago to the bustling destination point today, you would know that that could not have happened without CRA's powerful focus, leverage, and support.
Alarcon also said it didn't make sense to leave lots vacant and not to continue to invest in new developments. LA's redevelopment agency is among the 18 that will be audited by the state. Emily Frost, Annenberg Radio News.
USC University Hospital said today that it shut down its kidney transplant program after an error was discovered. The program was shut down last month. The hospital did not detail the nature of the mistake, but it said no patient was harmed. A review of the program is expected to be complete by tomorrow. The hospital will consider reactivation of the kidney program. The Los Angeles Fire Department made history today. The first African American was sworn in as the department's fire chief. Melissa Butler reports on today's ceremony at the Civic Center.
I celebrate this day. This is a day for LA. It's a wonderful moment for all of you.
Hundreds of firefighters, police officers, and citizens gathered downtown to witness the first Black fire chief being sworn into office. Darrell Osby has worked for the Los Angeles County Fire Department for 27 years. He started when he was just 18 years old.
Today, the Los Angeles County Fire Department will ensure that we provide the best public safety service in the world. I'm humbly excited about becoming the new fire chief. I look forward to serving you all.
Many locals are thrilled because minorities have not always been given the same opportunities as white firefighters. The department used to be notorious for racial discrimination and failing to promote Black employees.
So as a minority, I feel especially excited because when my husband came on board in the fire department, there had to be a consent decree where they had not allowed minorities to come in.
Darrell Osby has been a top commander during some of the most high-profile fires in the county, including the Catalina Fire in 2007. Through his long career, he has gained support from many local citizens.
This is a long time coming. He's a great guy. He's very smart. And I think that he's going to do wonders for L.A. County.
Osby has big shoes to fill as he will be replacing the previous chief, who was in office for nearly 21 years. Melissa Butler, Annenberg Radio News.
Plan some indoor activities because a storm is headed our way. Here's Stuart Cito from the National Weather Service.
Friday into Saturday, there is a possibility of thunderstorms, and they could have some small hail. Also, with this storm, we're looking for gusty wind. We're also looking for snow levels to start decreasing. Probably our biggest rain since the December rains.
So pull out your rain jackets. It's going to be a wet weekend. Later on Annenberg Radio News, USC is moving into San Francisco, but radio fans are not happy. We'll hear both sides of the story. In honor of Black History Month, Nobel Peace Prize winner Desmond Tutu came to speak to high school kids in Los Angeles today. Amanda Smith was there for the event at Santee High School.
Hundreds of students from Santee and Crenshaw High gathered in a packed auditorium today. They set aside school rivalry to welcome South African Archbishop Desmond Tutu.
Principal, I gather there are things called cougars. And falcons. I'm old, I can't hear.
The 80-year-old human rights activist won a Nobel Peace Prize in 1984 for his efforts to end the apartheid in South Africa. And it was during those tough times of enforced segregation that Tutu said he looked to the U.S.
But I wanted you to know we were inspired in our struggle by many of those from this country. Because what it did for us was to say, hey, do you see these people? They look like you. Look at what they are achieving.
This Black History Month, his message let young people know they can look to other generations, like he has, to overcome struggle.
And you here, my dears, you young people, have some tremendous, tremendous role models.
He pointed to Mayor Villaraigosa as one of those local role models.
It's important for us to celebrate Black History Month because in every way, it's American History Month.
And in the end, Tutu reminded the students of their shared fate.
Thank you. Our freedom is your freedom.
DirecTV sponsored Tutu's visit. It's a part of a program that will be broadcast to 7,500 students nationwide this spring. Amanda Smith, Annenberg Radio News.
Felix Chevrolet and Green Solutions have joined together to revitalize the dealership, a dealership that has been around for 90 years. Their goal is to make Felix Chevrolet the first net zero energy dealership in California. Daryl Holter, CEO of the Seamus Group, says with the current state of the economy and the launch of the new car, it was time to make some changes.
So we thought we would try to capture this exciting moment of change where we have this new product and to link that to what a lot of businesses are thinking about today, thinking about what can we need to make our businesses more efficient.
Robert Orfino from Alpine Green Solutions was there to propose ideas to help transform the dealership successfully, starting with the lights in the showroom.
You look at buildings, some of the low-hanging fruit is always lighting. And this has got some really low-hanging fruit. So there's an opportunity to, if we just want fixture-by-fixture replacement with what we have in now to what is currently available on the market, there is a 60% savings in the lighting.
In due time, Felix Chevrolet will be a whole new dealership.
Thank you.
appointed Turkish ambassador, Namik Tan, spoke to a crowd of USC students and professors this week. He described how he applies public diplomacy to the challenges facing his country. He says Turkey's geography has a great impact on its progress.
Afghanistan, Turkey is right in the middle of it. Pakistan, Turkey is right in the middle of it. Iran, Turkey is right in the top of it. Syria, Turkey is there. Lebanon, Turkey is there. Middle East, Turkey is there. Caucasus, Turkey is there. Russia, Balkans, energy issues, fight against terrorism. So Turkey is there. And unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, I think you would accept, I mean, if I ask you, these are not sometimes pleasantly discussed issues in this country. I mean, in this peaceful country, in this country which has a wonderful location. Close your eyes, think of yourselves just for a moment and put yourself into our place. You'll be terrified. You'll be terrified.
Ambassador Tan says Turkey does not move forward in negotiations with its neighbors without consulting with allies like the United States. USC is in the process of buying KUSF-FM in San Francisco, but that doesn't come without opposition. I spoke with Erin Swirnoff from Save KUSF. He's trying to get the Federal Communications Commission to halt the sale. But USC Radio President Brenda Barnes is standing behind the deal.
Something that I've given my heart and soul and time for over a decade to had been taken away, so there was obviously a lot of emotion. This is a deal that doesn't respect the idea of localism that's so important in our culture and for our community here in San Francisco. And, you know, this would be station number 6 now for USC, where this is really the only community radio station of its kind in San Francisco that reaches all these multiple cultures and communities here in our city. And I think that it's very important for San Francisco radio to sound like San Francisco.
You know, for us at USC, the way we looked at it is if the university wanted to sell the station anyway, we have a good use for it, and that is preserving classical radio in the Bay Area. We don't make the decision to sell somebody else's station. They make that decision. We made the decision to buy the station, knowing that we had a good use for it, and that we could provide a really valuable service to the Bay Area, and a service that the Bay Area was going to lose if someone didn't step up to do something.
So you don't think that it will have too much of a negative impact on the community?
You know, I think that question really depends on, the answer to that question depends on how you look at it and what your definition of community is. For the volunteers at KUSF, their definition of community, from what I can gather, seems to be themselves and the audience served by the station.
What impact do you think that the sale of KUSF would have on the community in San Francisco?
It would have a drastic impact on the community here in San Francisco, as KUSF not only programmed amusing and diverse music, but it also had really rich cultural programming, which reached so many of the diverse cultures and communities that make up our vibrant city, including Chinese Star Radio, which is one of the only news sources in Cantonese for our large Chinese population here in San Francisco. And so I think that it's a lot of those programs and communities that were served that were not taken into consideration when this deal that was done with zero transparency was made.
The San Francisco Board of Supervisors recently passed a resolution opposing the sale with an 8-3 majority. And so what do you think this means for the sale?
It really won't mean anything with regard to the sale, because the supervisors don't have any jurisdiction at all in this matter. It's a matter that goes before the Federal Communications Commission, and the FCC doesn't make decisions based on format. What they're looking at in a license transfer situation like this one is the entity that the license would be transferred to fit to operate a radio station. And that's the only issue that they really consider in making these kinds of decisions.
So now that you do have all of the information, what's your next step?
Well, we're on track to file our petition to deny at the FCC next Friday. And we've, you know, raised enough money for our first round of FCC and lawyer fees in order to get that petition to deny drafted. We really hope that USC will understand that this is an issue that needs to have further examination, and that we all sort of need to take a step back and a deep breath and put this really bad deal on hold and figure out a way that we can resolve this in a way that is respectful to the community of San Francisco, and that, you know, USC already has five stations, and maybe this is one that they don't need to have.
That was Erwin Swirnoff from Save KUSF and Brenda Barnes from USC. Monday is President's Day. It marks George Washington and Abraham Lincoln's birthdays. But most of us think it's just a day off of school. To celebrate, Stephanie Guzman asked people about their favorite president.
My favorite president is Barack Obama. I think he's very articulate. He is for the people.
Oh, he rocks. No.
That's cool. Yeah.
Probably either one of the Bushes or Ronald Reagan.
I guess JFK. He's hot and he has a lot of charisma and he has nice style.
My favorite president would have to be Richard Nixon because he had the highest IQ and he was a badass.
My favorite president, Abraham Lincoln, because of his standards, values, and morals.
Something about the slaves of Abraham Lincoln, I think. I'm not sure.
He, like, let the slaves go free. Like
Lyndon Johnson. Because he signed the Voting Rights Act, which is probably the single most effective piece of legislation and brought about a civil rights revolution in this country.
Yeah, I'll take Lyndon Johnson, George Washington, just because I don't know who else I would say no.
We're actually political science professors.
Does anybody's family celebrate President's Day except for, I don't know, the first family?
Well, we normally celebrate. My grandchildren are off of school.
Well, I get a day off at school. I don't do anything special. I just hang out with my friends.
I think it just kind of works out in the academic calendar.
I think celebrating the day, probably a lot of people shop because they have sales. But hopefully they really take to mind. I always put my flag out, and it's very sad. Not very many people do that. I've been all over the world practically, and this is the only place to live.
Who's your favorite president? Tweet us at our handle, Annenberg Radio. A statue of the former Los Angeles Lakers star turned general manager Jerry West will be unveiled today just outside the Staples Center. West, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and others of the Basketball Hall of Fame are set to speak at the ceremony. It begins at 5 p.m. and is free to the public. The bronze statue with the granite pedestal weighs about 1,500 pounds and is nearly 14 feet. And now we check in with Candace Brain to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Hey, Candace, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Students have less than 2 hours to vote in the undergraduate student government election. ATVN spoke today with the presidential candidates to find out what's happening in the final stretch. So that's kind of exciting. In other news, we have king-size tides that have taken over the coast and are worrying environmentalists about what's to come in the future. So you can keep an eye out for extra flood alerts. Also, thousands of protesters are still holding their ground in Wisconsin today as lawmakers are refusing to vote on an anti-union bill. So you can stay tuned to learn more at 6 p.m. at Annenberg TV News.
Thank you, Candace. That's it for this Thursday. We had help from Smitha Bondade, Stephanie Guzman, Ashley Williams, Carl Nickenig, and ATVN. Christine Trang is our producer. The executive producer is Jessica Flores. And for all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Megan Dickey.